Welcome to Convention Pulpit, Wesleyan Voices Past and Present, brought to you through the Ministry of Inner Church Holiness Convention, www.ihconvention.com.
The sermon on today's podcast is on Psalm 23. It's by the late August Lelf and goes all the way back to 1960. I know you'll enjoy this excellent sermon.
Yes, I wish I could have been here for the whole time. But I'm happy to be here as it is. Now, if you never have heard me speak, I won't have to speak very long till you know I stutter. But I have been stuttering now for 40 years, and I'm getting kind of used to it myself. And so maybe we can bear with each other just a little while. Amen. Amen. I was saved when I was just a child. And for over a year and a half or 2 years, I never missed a testimony service in our church. I would want to say, I know I'm still saved, but I'd get hung on that still. I'd begin all over again, and I'd get hung again, and many times I had to take my seat. And God would just bless me so good. There was one thought I had in mind. After I'd go to bed at night, I'd think about it. Well, if I should die tonight, I'd meet Jesus, and oh, how glad I'd be just because I tried to do what I could. And then I could meet those whom I had tried to witness and know I had did my best. There is nothing better than to come to the end of your own way and to have done what you could do. And may God help us today. Over in the 23rd Psalm today, a good psalm, it's a testimony of David. In this psalm, David speaks of himself 17 different times here. He begins, the Lord is, not has been, is. Whose? He's my shepherd. The first thing we want to know who God is. Unto Abraham, he says, I am the Almighty God. Almighty was taken up a Hebrew word, El Shaddai, which would mean as a mother would take her little baby. Her little baby is hungry. Her little baby is not content. It's not at ease. Abraham was in a circumstance of that kind. It seemed like the mother can take that baby, the hungry is satisfied, and just in a little while, it is content in its mother's arms. The mother is the all-sufficient one. For that baby is the sufficient. And God said to Abraham, I am the all-sufficient one. You needn't have to worry. I'm the all-sufficient one. And David says here, the all-sufficient one is my shepherd. Is. I shall not want. He is the all-sufficient one. Whatever my need might be, he is the all-sufficient one. And then he goes on, and it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Back down in Oklahoma, 2 or 3 years back, when it was so awful dry, down there you would see cows down all right. They had walked all over those burned over pastures and had gave up, in other words. But here David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I have the awesome patience. I can eat till I can eat no more and just lay down. Yes, that is one thing we have to have, is something to eat. And then he said, he leadeth me. He leadeth me, not has left, but he leadeth me. Yes. Beside the still waters. And the still waters, what the Bible speaks of, when the Bible speaks of waters of salvation, it means like a gusher of rivers of waters. I'll get it out after a while. He was meaning here that while the water was moving on, it was so deep you could not hear it. You didn't have to worry about, I wonder if I'm going to have the water to have water the next day or not. But this still waters is so deep that you don't have to worry about. I wonder if it's going to hold out. It's abundant.
Yes.
David says, He leadeth me beside the still water. Sometime when we come and we're kind of all dried up and everything, I wonder what kind of shepherd we have. Most of the Bible is given. It is helping us to know how to get something back we once have had. All down to the Bible, there is help there to help us to know how to get back that which we once had. We could think of the 10 pieces of silver. The Bible says if she would lose one, it didn't say she had to, but if she did. You don't have to. If that would have been in there, she lost one, but says if she loses one, it's going to tell how she would go to get it back. This woman, if she would lose one, Jesus says she would not be satisfied with the nine she has left. And neither will she, because she realizes she doesn't have as much a grace or a burden or whatever it was. If she realizes she doesn't have the whole content, she will not cast the other nine overboard. I don't know when she took her inventory. I don't know whether that, wherever you ever need to turn over a new leaf or when it is. But nevertheless, she took an inventory. And there seems to be one missing. I just don't have it like I once had. There's something not up to where it used to be. Well, she is not content. She begins to get busy. I want that back which I once had. I want the whole amount back. Bible says that she lit a candle. Now, I've been gone from home. I stay by myself once in a while. And I've been gone from home, and then I'll go back. And I can open the door, and there's dust in there. And one thing, I don't see how it ever got in. And sometimes you don't see it until you switch something else off. And then you can see it in there. I wonder how it got here. No doubt this one I'm speaking of here, she didn't realize the condition of her own house until she had lit the candle. Oh, I don't see nothing the matter. Just start lighting the candle up. And when she did, she found out her house needed sweeping. And then, after she seen a neat sweep, I don't know what all she had to sweep out. But I can tell you what, all unnecessary to good housekeeping. And she just didn't begin to sweep in one camp meeting or a revival meeting, just that little corner here and then over here a little bit. But the Bible says she sought diligently until she found it. She sought diligently. How long? The Bible never gives you anywhere to stop until you have what you have. And then we could think of also that one who was using his axe one day. And he was swinging his axe, cutting the timber down. And while he was doing that, the axe had come off. One thing I always have really loved about that, when he realized it was gone, he stopped swinging. Has a very sharp cutting edge. The Bible says here it was made of iron. It was heavy. It had a weight about it. It's a burden. But when he realized he didn't have that burden that he once had, he stopped swinging. Yes. No doubt you have heard him say, "No, I don't have the burden that I used to have, but I still haven't gave up. I'm still swinging." There is reasons why the axe head came off. They're not supposed to. He didn't break the handle off, but the axe head come off. I I don't know whether you've ever investigated or not. The axe at the end of the handle, after you put the axe head on, there's a little wedge goes in there. And it binds it to hold it there, just something small. Yes, they say, I don't have the burden I once had. But I don't see nothing a big I've done. It's those little things.
Yes, sir.
It might be that little thing you did or that little thing you left undone. Nevertheless, the axe had come off. He wasn't very watchful, was he? If he would have been watching, he would have had an instinct or something to help him to know. But so many times, well, the devil tells us, well, if somehow, no, you may not supposed to do this, but in case that something does happen, you can get it back just right in a hurry. But we'll see how this man he made out on. The axe head come off. And then he went to the man of God. Elias, master, for it was borrowed. In other words, the axe wasn't rightly his. And you today, if you're saved today, it is nothing you have earned. It's a gift of God. And that is the more reason you should have it. You should have it to its full content. Yes, you may could stick a razor blade in the end of that handle or something. And why, you can just swing it and just tear the timber up, start off, but you won't see no timber coming down. If the ministers, if they lose the burden and only have a sharp cutting edge, they'll do more damage than what they will do good. You can spend 2 or 3 years to build something up. Someone else can tear it down maybe in one message. If they don't have that burden. That's one thing this man I really loved about him. When it was gone, he stopped swinging until he got it back. If you don't have the burden in your heart, you do not have any business to speaking to others. And the man of God said, "Worth telling. Where did you lose it at?" And he knew where he lost it. He took him to the spot. I knew where I lost it. But that wasn't good enough yet. Says, cut down a stick and cast it in hither. Cut down a stick. What does that mean? It's something of obedience, but yet there's a sacrifice that is made when a stick is cut down. and to gain back that which you have once had, a burden back, there is a sacrifice that you have to make also. A sacrifice. I do not know what sacrifice it may be unto you. But whatever God asks you to do, that is what you must do. Back in the days, in the early days, when the water wasn't very good, and God told Moses to cut down a tree and put into the water. And it was good. The water came good. And then in the days of Elisha, they had bad water again. Water was very bad. They would even dying because of the bad water. And God told him to put salt into the water. But I can imagine, I can see those back there who said, well, now if you want to get that water good again, you got to cut a tree down. Elisha, he sends after the salt, but you can still hear him. Now you're going at it different than what you ought to. You need to get an axe and get a tree cut down. God works in different ways. I don't know whether anybody stuck a tree in water or not, but the Bible speaks about when they put the salt in the water became sweet. Yes. All of that bitterness was gone. Whatever he says to you, do it. When something your spirit is not what it ought to be. Kind of a bitter spirit or something. No, you may not be all spoiled. But you need to get some salt or cut down a tree or something. And back to the axe head again. This a stick is put upon the water. The sacrifice has been made. And what happens? You can just see that old axe head coming up through the water to the top. I've done what God asked me to do. He never asked anyone to do anything that they could not do. They had this stick there. They may not have had this salt. But they had the stick. You needn't go away of this building without that axe head coming up today. Yes, the axe head's up. Oh, my. Axe head's up. Elisha says unto him, take it unto thee. He doesn't reach down after it. But he said, you take it. You take it. It's a gift, a direct of God unto you. It doesn't go to the other man's hand. If you get saved, it comes right to your heart. And the Bible says he took it. He took it. He took it. How about you? Are you taking it? Have not you seen the axe head come up? I don't know about that. He says, you take it. And he took it. He took it. He took it. He took it. He got that burden back. He could see the timber start coming down again. God did not put these in the Bible here just for you and I to read over and think about, well, that's just the way it used to be. But God has it here to help you and I now, right today. He restored. He restored. Not of any man's words, lest they should boast. That a stick didn't have nothing in it to lift that magnet up. It was God. It was God. He restored David's head. He restored. I never know how long to... Sometimes I don't stutter as much as I do other times. He restores my soul. Who could say that any better than a David? Yes. It's his own testimony. Yes, I imagine while he was giving this testimony here, his mind went back to when he was taking care of those sheep. And there that bear and the animal, got one and took off to the bushes. He ran and caught up with it. He's a small man. He realizes that there's something else that helps him. He grabbed the hold of the bear. The old bear's mouth comes open. It totters on back to the sheep pole.
And David said, the old devil had me once in his teeth. But God heard me. He heard me. And he set me loose. He restored my soul. I couldn't help myself. The old bear had me. I couldn't help myself. And David gives his testimony also that in a different way. He says that he was in a horrible pit. A horrible pit. Stuck in the mud. There was no way he could get back out. Jesus gives the parable of that one sheep who didn't return. He goes out to seek it, and when he had found it, and there he was stuck in the mud. When he has found it, what does he do? Does he tie something onto it and drag it through the hard spots and everything back home? Now, I don't want you to forget it. I want you to remember this. No, he doesn't do that. There he is, all stuck in the mud. He's weak. The only way he'll get back home is somebody to pick him up. And the good shepherd who picked him up. I had always wondered how I got saved so easy. I mean, in that way, when I yielded my heart to God, it seemed like that was all. There was no hard way back home. The good shepherd picked me up and put him on his shoulders and carried him home. Yes, once in a while we see those at the altar. I, my own self, went to the altar a good long while to seek an experience. But somehow the good shepherd was there. I was there. But he didn't pick me up and put me off on his shoulders. I had too much of that goat nature. I didn't want to give up kicking around. I went to the altar a good long while once. I'd come to the altar. Will you be willing to be a missionary and stutter like you are? Now, I used to stutter bad. I did. If you would have heard me, back there, you think I really talk good now. If a tired man could make up the alphabet, your name would have to be spelt different than what it is. But all I had trouble with, anyhow, is just those 26 letters of the alphabet. Yes, A good long while I come to order. Something which seemed to speak to me. Are you willing to go and be a missionary and stutter like you are? I could have seen my own self out there. I'd have to have an interpreter, and he couldn't even understand me. I'm glad they're coming up there. Come that day, and something happened in my own heart, I was just as willing to go if he couldn't understand one word I said. He restoreth my soul. And not only does he restore you, but then it goes on and says, then he leads me. He leadeth me. I don't have to worry about backsliding when he leads me. He leads me in the past. They're already tested out. For years after I got saved, I didn't want to backslide. Well, I still don't, but I was trying to hold on. I made it hard on my own self. I didn't want to backslide, or I'd try to hold on. I read in the Bible, he will keep in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed upon him. Yes, I thought I was going to have to keep a God, but God was going to keep me. The worry all left, I was relieved. My next one was to keep my mind on him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when it just looked like I can't make it, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Back in the days when a test was on for Moses, God told him to cast that rod down. A shepherd uses this half in a rod for protection and for correction. And God was having a little trouble with Moses, and he wanted to teach him a great lesson. He told him to cast it down, and he did, and it turned into snake. And Moses got scared and he took off to the bushes. The Bible said he really got in a hurry. He ran. He got scared. And after a while, God caught up with him. And he said, Moses, go back and catch it by the tail. Take hold of its tail. Oh, can't you see Moses flipping around the bushes? And when he did, he finally got a hold of it. I'd like to have been there to watch. And when he did, it turned back into his rod again. A rod of protection. A rod of correction. I don't know how good a theology this might be. I'm not done yet, though. Comfort me. And we call that the Bible. God is having a little trouble with Moses. He tells him to cast it down. And when he did, it turned into a snake, something that would get him. That's the way the Bible does. He wanted to teach Moses something, to hang on to it. You cast God's words down. You can see what happened to King Saul when he took the words of God as though they meant nothing. When you cast them down. Somehow, the Bible even speaks about that. It brings a sword. It is meant to help you, but if you throw it down, it makes a greater damnation on you. He throws it down. I don't need the commandments anymore. God is helping, trying to teach him something. And Moses, after he gets it again, he catches hold of his tail. I wonder why he didn't get it back here. Now there's something here that if the tail is the weakest part of the snake, and you may say, oh, if I could just believe those great things in God's word. But if you can just believe the weakest of them, it'll turn back into a rod again. If I got that over, I won't say no more on that line right there. All right, the next. thou preparest a table before me. When? At camp meeting? Yes, he does. At a big convention? David said God prepared a table before him when his enemies are there. He just doesn't give me a hamburger or a good pie snack. But he says he set the whole table. I've got a grace in my heart, no matter what the enemy may say. I've got the necessary grace in my heart. A God, you may not have it at the beginning, but God sets the table there. Is your shepherd David Shepherd? Something that you don't have to worry about. You heard those testimonies. I went just as long as I could, and then I had to do. David said that God presents a whole table pulling ahead of him. And then he said he anoints my head with oil. When his enemy's there, I could rub my hand here, and yes, it's beginning to get hot now, but if I had an oil can, squirt some oil on there, I could just rub and rub. And David said that when the old enemy comes up to him to ruffle him all up, God anoints his head with oil. And keeps him running cool. And not just about enough get by, but until his cup runs over. Well, he's not done yet. Troy, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy are very good deeds. It says they shall follow me. It didn't say go beside me. They shall follow me. I have just read you that the good shepherd, he's in here. He's leading. And goodness and mercy is in behind. And if the old devil goes to boot you, he'll just hit goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Say that'll just happen on Sunday either. Nor through a 10-days meeting. But he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days. One, two, three, tomorrow, the next day, as long as God will, I stay here. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then it's not over yet. And then he's going to take me home. I shall dwell in the house of him. How long? Just one day, 2 weeks. Wouldn't it be good to just take a little vacation into heaven? Wouldn't it be good? But David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd like to say this one thing, and then if God will let me and everything, I'll sit down. I was holding a revival meeting. I hadn't been out in the work very long. I had a dream one night. But this revival meeting, it wasn't going as good as I had expected it. And I studied so bad. And it comes to me, well, if I'd be where I ought to be, oh, I could just, you know, blow and go. And I was very much worried about it. Concerned, you ain't supposed to say words. I was concerned about it. I wondered what I should do. I was doing everything I knew to do. And that night, I went to bed. And God gave me a dream that night. I've had two really important dreams unto me. And God let me dream that I only had one more week yet to live. Grand awful that I was in this same revival meeting. And God let me know I just had one more week yet to go. And so I was wondering how, why the next night I surely won't have to stutter and everything. And so in my dream, I got out there in my same old stuttering way. And after going home that night, I announced at the meeting that it would just go on one more week in my dream. Every night I'd go home. After I'd go to bed, I'd say, "Oh God, if there is anything I need to do, yes, let me know. I want to know it now. I've only got one more week yet to go. Let me know now if I need to go to someone, if I need to do this or to do that. Let me know now. Don't wait till the judgment day. Let me know now." Somehow, God wouldn't show me nothing. I'd go to sleep. Finally, the very last night in my dream, hey, come. I gave my own message. And then afterwards, I dismissed. This is the end of the meeting. I went home. Instead of undressing to go to bed, I dressed up to go to bed. I put the best that I had on. And I lay down in bed. I laid my hand just about so. Oh, I could think back when I used to stutter. And I couldn't hardly make it, but oh, how happy I was then that I had witnessed. You never know until you get to the end. If you haven't never been there or anything, you don't realize what I'm speaking of. But when you get to the end of the way, oh, such joy. You've heard about the little boy who had his work done up of the evening and be swinging on the gate just waiting for his dad to come in. But one night he didn't have his work all done. He had some other company and he wasn't out there swinging on the gate. But I was out there swinging on the gate. My work was all done. I laid down. And that's all I remember. I went to sleep. The next scene, I was my own undertaker. I was kind of looking myself over anyhow. I went down there. I looked at myself. Everything was in order. I looked at my hands. There was no blood stains on my hands. That did me so. Just to have your work all done. My hands were. Clean. Everything was in order like it ought to be, all but my head. It was hanging down. Oh, I had such an angelic smile, just a smile that I wish I could have the whole time. I looked at myself, and my head was hanging down. I went to push my head back, but then it would come back again. I removed a pillow out from under my head. Then my head went back 2 months. And I just had woke out of my sleep. Everything was in order all but my head. God taught me that my trouble was in my head. I can't do it. I let my head hang there. Jesus is the pillow of our head. If we let our heads rest on him, it'll be just where it ought to be.
Thank you for listening to Convention Pulpit, a ministry of Interchurch Holiness Convention, featuring Wesleyan voices past and present. For more sermons or for more information, visit www.ihconvention.com. This ministry is made possible through the financial support of our listeners. Keep passing it on.